Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for September 22nd. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and on this beautiful Sunday morning in Tokyo, joining me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? Good morning.
I'm enjoying the beautiful Sunday morning. What else would I be doing? He said, you know, I mean, I might be sleeping, potentially.
Might, yeah, you'd be in bed probably, as well as
and
as
so I'm keeping the neighbors from sleeping. Okay, so yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Had a big long run yesterday getting ready for November. My next marathon is November, so that was
fun. Wow, this is going to be like the fifth marathon since John said he was finished with marathons.
Not really, but it might be.
I'm not counting, actually. Yeah, I don't have my marathon abacus here.
Marathon abacus. I don't think that you need that with me. You just need a pair of hands.
Fingers.
Some fingers.
Hands on. What fingers? Mickey Mouse could do it, maybe. I don't know.
All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Ernesto Mejia of the Cebu Lions, and we're going to discuss the leaders, the pennant races, and the retirement of Senichi Hoshino, and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
All right, this is probably going to be pretty easy for you. It might be difficult, but it is kind of obscure, so I apologize. But Chihiro Kaneko has 14 wins in the Pacific League, and it looks like he's going to have the most wins in the Pacific League. So in either league, since 1998, who had the most wins in the league with the fewest wins?
Wow. You know, I'm going to say it was Shugo Fuji with the Yakult Swallows. Yeah. I think he had 12 wins 1 year.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the number. It's 13.
Oh, it's 13.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he had 14, and that was in 2001 with Yakult. So that's really close.
Yeah, of course, I interviewed him, and then his career went in the dumpster.
Well, you don't have to take any blame for that. I won't blame
you. No, we've all done it.
We're not going to bring that up about me.
If John and I had cars or recording equipment, we'd put stamps, we'd put little silhouettes of players on the side, the players. I'd have Kenjiro Kawasaki on there. I interviewed him, and he played about 3 more games than the rest of his career.
Good grief.
A few others. Okay, it was 12. Wow.
No, the number's 13.
It wasn't 13.
Right.
And that's a good question. Jeez, might have been 2004.
No.
Oh, because they played 4 fewer games that year. Okay. What's the time frame since when or forever?
Since 1998.
Ah, since 1998 when they went to a longer schedule. Okay, so I was going to think maybe but in the past they used to have a lot of complete games and a lot of 180, 190. Before 1998, they had a lot of 180, 190 pitch count games, so the fewer games wouldn't impact that much. Guys were getting more wins. Wow. I give up. Who was it?
All right. Yeah, I asked that question because there were 3 guys in the Pacific League who tied with 13 wins in 1998. One of them was Fumiya Nishiguchi of the Lions.
Wow, one doesn't remember him. I remember that 1998, yeah.
And then
1998.
Yeah, that's in 1998.
Wow, okay.
And then Tomohiro Kuroki, Johnny Kuroki.
Yeah.
Of Lotte had 13. And also Kazuhiro Takeda of Daiei had 13. And that's the
Yeah, 1998, right. And then the next year he went to pitch for the Dragons. He became a big free agent.
Yep.
Helped him win that Japan series. His former team. Oh, wait, he didn't.
Oh, except they lost. In 5 just horrible games, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Yes, because I looked at that and I saw
that was good.
I had that question in mind because obviously Kaneko's got the 14 wins and
right.
He might get to 15. He might not. Well, we'll have to see. He might even get to 16. He might have 2
We'll get to a couple a similar situation in some respects. In kind of an unusual year this year that one of the PL pitchers is having. later on in the show.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Forward to that.
All right. So on Monday, I went out to Cebu Dome, which is just basically a hop, skip, and a jump from here. And I got to talk with Ernesto Mejia, the first-year slugger with the Cebu Lions. And you know, he took the PL home run lead in homers, hitting his 32nd on Friday. And he's a big, strong guy, man. You talked about having gone out there and him running up to you from behind to say hello. And I think you said he grabbed you or something.
He has this very deep voice, bass voice, and he was in the mirror room.
Uh-huh.
So it was echoing, and it sounded like the PA announcer saying, hello, hello, hello.
Oh. So he was with the Atlanta Braves and just really couldn't get up to the major league squad. And, you know, with Freddie Freeman firmly rooted at first base. Ooh, I say that three times fast.
I was going to say, you got your consonants going on. You got the consonant switch turned on. You got to set that down a notch.
Yeah. I guess he really didn't have that much of a chance to get up to the major league team and get some real playing time. But now this is what I read in a couple places, that defense was not particularly his strong suit. So major league teams may have just passed on the bat because they didn't want to look at the defense so much. But I think he's played adequately at first for the Lions. He's not killing them. He's not horrible. They've had worse fielders at first base. We know that for sure.
they got him. Yeah, pictures of them there, like a little Hall of Fame down there.
So, and you know, the big bats with the Lions, I think that's basically what all the fanfare is about that team this year. They kind of disappointed me. I thought they'd be, obviously I had them in the playoffs, so I thought they'd be a little bit better, but he's given them some excitement. This chat that I had with him on Monday started on the move because I missed him during the warmups and I had to get him just before the game started. And, you know, the big stairway.
Oh, during the stretch.
Yeah, well, you know, the big stairway in the back that the players take down to the field. That's where I met him up there and we were walking down. So we started this chat walking down the stairs and I was talking to him. Players were going by and then we stopped in the back of the mirror room. Or just in front of the mirror room, whichever perspective you want to take.
In the hallway?
Yeah, right in front of the door in the mirror room, and we stopped and had a talk. And
sorry for this, a sort of a complicated, abstract reporter's view of Cebu Dome.
Right. But we appreciate the time that he was kind enough to take with us. And then I think he started getting the stink eye from some of the staff, so he had to go. So you'll hear me say, you got to go. All right, thank you very much. So anyway, it was a quick chat, really short this time, but very funny, very interesting. Let's take a listen.
How did you end up with the Cebu Lions? Because you didn't get that much of an opportunity with the Braves.
Yeah, no, I mean, my agent called me one day and said that it was a Japanese team interested in my job, you know?
Yeah.
And asked me if I'd agree with that and he can do whatever he needs to do to get me here.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yes, let's do it. Why not?
How come you didn't get any time with the Braves?
I don't know, man. You know, my job is on the field. I can't answer. I don't know about the office stuff, front office. I don't know. It's not my job, so I never get called out.
All right, now what about when you came over here, was it your plan to stay here for a couple of years, or you just wanted to put up some good numbers and see if you can get back?
You know, that's a good question. I don't really know. I just enjoy my life day by day, and right now I'm having a good year here. And I don't know, it depends on, you know, sometimes it's how you feel and where you feel, you know, where you feel and how you feel, and not about something else. And I feel very good here.
Yeah, that's my man over there, old Kawari Kun. Yeah,
Nakamura, a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. All right, so in fact, speaking of Nakamura, you guys are tied at the top with the home run race.
Uh-huh.
How good is it to have somebody like him on the team? Or is it pressure? You know,
why pressure? No, it's not pressure at all. I would say it's an honor. No, it's really nice because sometimes I can help the team with a big hit, he can do it, or vice versa. You know, we're here to help the team. We're not here to compete. You know, to each other. I mean, we compete in a good way. So actually, I protect him during the lineup, I think, but sometimes they don't want to pitch him. They want to pitch me, and I do my job. Or they want to pitch him to not pitch me, and he do his part. So it's been a great year, man. We've been hitting a lot of home runs each other. So that's good for the team.
What's that like? I mean, you guys talk about the home run race?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. We make fun of the race, yeah, in a very good way. And last time I told him, hey, man, we're going to finish up 40 each. We got to do it. We got to be both home run kings. That would be nice for, you know, two players from the same team. He said, yes, that's nice. And then at the end, he's like, okay, but I'll hit 41, you hit 40.
He's a competitor too. So when you came over here, who helped you really adjust to baseball, especially the strike zone?
I mean, I think, but everybody was talking to me about it, but at the end, I'm the one who have to judge. I'm the one on the plate, and I'm the one who have to decide what to swing and what not swing. So I'll say the time here, seeing a lot of pitches, and talking with the hitting coach and everybody. The mix of things, you know, that's what make me, you know, and I have a lot of strikeouts, but I still hit him pretty good average, decent, you know, and I feel pretty good because I help the team a lot of times in a lot of games, so that's nice.
Well, what do you think about the strikeouts? You had some in the minor leagues too, so do you change your approach over here?
Certainly, I don't care how many times I strike out, as long as I have 30 homers. Around 300 and around 100 ribbies. So I don't think not too many people care about when. If you, the thing is not striking out. The thing is put numbers.
All right, time to go. All right, thank you for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Good luck. Good luck.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks a lot, Ernesto. Much appreciated.
Look forward to seeing you again. I'm not getting out to the park very much. but always a pleasure.
Yeah, well, you've got other things to do, and your other baseball guy is out of the country, so you're stuck in the office. So anyway, what stood out for you? It was a quick one. That was a quick one.
Well, first of all, I think the bit with Nakamura is interesting now, because I don't talk to Nakamura. I've done essentially one story in which I needed some quotes from him, and he pretty much gave me the, if I tell you this, will you go away? Oh, can I ask another question? Okay, now if I answer that, will you go away? It was that I asked him that a year and a half ago. And so I didn't really have this concept that he had a sense of humor. I've seen him do interesting things, and I see him he appears to have a very good relationship with his teammates. It seemed like he and Yasuyuki Kataoka, who's now with the Giants, were kind of tight and always goofing around on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have an impression that he had a sense of humor. So when I heard the quote about, I'll hit 41 and you hit 40.
Yeah.
and you said, well, he's a great guy. And I was just sort of curious about what your interaction with him had been. Because John's Japanese is quite a bit better, and he's a lot more casual with it. I tend to be stiff and formal. Although my language is not formal at all, because there's a whole formal Japanese genre which I'm really bad at.
Yeah, I think a lot of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've talked to him a few times, and every time I go out, we chat a little bit. And
wow.
Yeah, he is my boy. He always gives me a fist bump, and he'll come up to me and say, how are you doing? And I asked him, obviously when he started, you know, he had some injury issues, and I'd always ask him how he was doing. And I remember when he got married. I remember when he had his first child and all that stuff. So I always ask him about those things. So for a Japanese player, he's always asking me. He and Hitoshi Tamura, who's now back with the Bay Stars, and a couple guys here and there, and a couple Japanese players, they are always asking me how I'm doing.
Yeah, I think we all have those few.
Yeah, yeah. So, I remember... I just think, yeah, that comment, you hit 40, I'll hit 41. that stood out for me too. But for me about Mejia, I like what he said. I mean, you know, he said basically, screw all that stat head crap. I'm interested in two, maybe three numbers. And I remember Tyrone Woods said something similar. He said the skipper Hiromitsu Ochiai, when he was manager of the Dragons, always told him to be aggressive at the plate. He said strikeouts are part of the game. You know, that's part of being a power hitter, and cutting down on your swing, especially maybe you would do it with two strikes in a really crucial situation, but
sure.
But he said, in general, don't change your swing. You know, I don't want you changing your swing.
You don't change your swing, but Of course, people have different swings too. I mean, people have different tools.
Well, two strike swing and pitch swing. And he said, don't change it. So I think Mejia is saying, hey, look, I don't worry about the number of strikeouts. I worry about the number of home runs and RBIs and maybe a little bit of batting average. But those three things are, you know, the home runs and the RBIs are important. But I say, you know, when you have a runner at third and you have one or two outs, you don't need to be striking out. You know, you should be concerned about the strikeouts, but I think he's doing fine. It's a good point. You know, the little slap hitting guys changed their approach and they just try to get the bat on the ball and take off running for first base. And I don't,
guys usually actually don't change their approach. They only have one. Their approach to be little slap hitting guys. Yeah.
But some of them shorten up. You can even see a number of some of the Japanese players just changing a little bit, just shortening up a little bit. But it's hard to tell. It's definitely
hard to tell. Yeah, it's like you need a micrometer there.
Yeah, but you know, I think that basically that's all they have in this season going is the home run race, and they have two chances where the Oryx Buffaloes have Pena, and they only have the one chance. So I think a lot of people, you know, they're going to the park, and I heard some fans talking before the game.
Both of them.
Saying, well,
can I join you? It's awfully low. I jest because they actually had decent crowds this week.
you're just mean. I heard the fans talking about, you know, hey, look, I hope Mejia hits the home runs and gets the home run title. Mm-hmm. Nakamura has had it already. So that was interesting to hear Japanese fans saying that. Maybe they said it because I was walking by. Maybe, I don't know.
Could be. They were, you know, buttering you up for something. So, the thing about the strike zone, which is I like to ask people and players, every player has a very different approach. I shouldn't say every player has a different, but they have, for some reasons, a unique approach depending on their physical, you know, their batting mechanics and how they, and also their self-image.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a funny thing about that was, I mentioned Bernardo Brito last week.
Right.
With the Fighters. The former big, friendly DH. And he told me once, look, I'm a power hitter. I don't walk. Power hitters don't walk. And I said, well, what about Barry Bonds? He went, oh yeah. Power hitters can walk.
Can.
Well, and the weirdest, and it was one of those weird things, like I feel like I gave him too much information. And I love Bernardo, but it's like all of a sudden it wasn't, but about 6 weeks later, and I think it was more of effect of the extra workload the Fighters were giving him by taking very late batting practice at home instead of early batting practice.
Right. You said that. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, he started taking more pitches and getting called out on strikes, and his home run and average went in the dumpster. So I felt like, oh no, I felt bad about that actually. But you know, everybody's got their own approach, and that, of course, the strike zone's not only about the strike zone is not only about strikeouts. You know, it affects everything.
Right.
There are players who can use it to control their at-bats. A lot of them can. Mm-hmm. And through Friday, Mejia was batting .297 with a .373 on-base percentage.
Yeah.
Which would, if he had enough at-bats to qualify for the league batting title, would put him about fifth in the league in the top 10. So the strikeouts aren't killing him. And the other interesting thing is that it probably keeps him, I think, that he hits the ball in the air so much.
Right.
Keep him from hitting into a lot of double plays. So Nakamura, who bats in front of him, has 13 and has hit into 13, and Mejia has hit into 4.
Yeah.
And Nakamura's on base all the time.
Yeah. And that's a real bad double play combination if you think about it, because neither one of those guys could
Yeah, pretty much. If they'd have trouble getting out of the way of the wagon coming down the street, pulled by a donkey with a
bat. You're just mean this morning. Whoa, just a grumpy old man this morning. You got the grumpy old man thing going.
I don't mean that. I'm just. I used to say about some guys, you know, you used to time first base with a calendar, but I was projecting.
Oh, okay, a calendar.
That was me. First time I played baseball after, you know, after I gave it up in the Little League, I was 27 or 28 years old with Pepsi here in Japan, and it looked like somebody had first base on a string and was pulling it away from me. The closer I got, it seemed like I was doing the 800 meters to get the first base.
You're painting some terrible pictures here.
It was horrible.
You know, I also like what he said about, I don't know if I like it, but I found it interesting that he talked about the fact that business is business, so he's not worried about what's going on this year, what's going on next year. And, you know, I always try to get the plan. That's why I ask a lot of players a lot of times, how do they end up here? And I want to know what the plan is. And I would assume he's got some kind of plan, but maybe he didn't want to share, especially since it's this time of year. This time of year, he doesn't want to share, and he wants to parlay a good season here into either a better paying season here next year, or perhaps go back to the States and say, hey, look, I did this, and you guys are talking about my defense, but this is what I did in the field, and put up some numbers, and perhaps he can get back to the States. Because obviously with Coco Ballantyne hitting the 60 home runs last year, and we know that Tyrone Woods, before, at least he told me, that he got some interest from the States once he had a really good season over here.
Yeah, Alex Ramirez told me that as well, and Tuffy Rhodes told me that as well, that at a certain point, the scouts were coming up and saying, you know, you live in so-and-so, we can give you a spring training invite.
Right, and that's where I was going next, which is, as long as it's a guaranteed contract, I wouldn't mind him going back to the States and giving it. I mean, I could see him going back to the States.
See, this is the thing. You know, I was talking about this 3 years ago because of Matt Merton. Excuse me, 4 years ago because of Matt Merton. And, you know, going through the list, and foreign players in the field in Japan don't get guaranteed contracts coming back to the majors. They get tryouts and they get options. Nobody's saying, here's the money, play for us. If you're a pitcher, some will, but that's also pretty rare.
Yeah, that's you've talked about that before, and that's an issue, and that's why I said hopefully he can parlay this into a better paying season for next year and be back with the Lions and do have a similar season, have the similar production. I think that would bode well for that team. They've got that exciting, well, I hope he's exciting, Yamakawa.
They got
and the Mori, the rookie there.
Yeah, they got a lot of big young stars.
So yeah, the future looks bright. As long as they can figure out what's going on the mound and steady that ship, I think they're going to be. But of course, I had them finishing second in the Pacific League this year, so oh well.
Yeah, well, I think the talent is obviously there, and they had a bad. They got detoured.
Well, if they're willing to have Dave Okubo back as manager, I think he'd make a good manager.
Well, that's another story.
Yeah, I don't think
we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah,
but it looks like actually the candidate to be the manager is the guy they mentioned last year. In the same breath with Watanabe Hisanobu, excuse me, Hisanobu Watanabe leaving, who is the farm team manager, Tetsuya Shiozaki, who had been the farm team manager.
Yeah, I heard that last year too.
And he was the one named the other day as the candidate. Nobody mentioned Tanabe sticking around as the manager, which was not a surprise.
Yeah.
That happens when you know, the team is expected to finish last and instead finishes second, like, or third, like the Swallows did under Junji Ogawa.
Yeah.
Junji Ogawa was, they were going to, you know, he was there basically, don't get comfortable. They were telling him, don't get comfortable in that chair. That chair is for Daisuke Araki. You know, it's got his name on it. Don't wear it out with your butt.
Or anything else.
Exactly. Don't move anything in the office because it's set up for him.
Right.
And he spoiled the whole scenario by turning the team completely around and having 2 good years, you know, before the Jingu Stadium became General Hospital.
Yeah, General Hospital. All right, well, let's move along here. Another seamless transition, and I want to talk about the leaders. You really like that. I'm glad.
I do. It kills me.
The the leaders in both leagues. Let's start with the Pacific League, since we've been talking about Ernesto and the gang. And the home runs, you know, we previously mentioned that Mejia and Takeya Nakamura and Ortiz's Willie Peña are up there in the lead, and they're having this great race. And I'm going to stick with my pick in Peña because I want to see that team do well. I always talk about the Buffaloes, but you know, having met Mejia, and of course that was the first time I talked to him, and seeing Nakamura, you know, I'm happy with whoever wins. I like all three of those guys, and I want to see them do well. And I think, I don't know.
Which poses the question, what happens when the guy's leading the home run race that John doesn't want to do well? We got like a little
boo. Get out of here. Take a hike, buddy.
Okay, stop right now. Stop.
Somebody strike that guy out, for goodness sakes. Throw a pitch in the dirt or walk him or something. Just get him out of here.
I can't imagine that. I really can't.
I don't root against people too much.
Yeah. Although, I mean, there are people there, like, having said that, there are people like Kazuhiro Kiyohara or something, people who's just like, you know, I don't want to say play the game the wrong way, but they seem to be disinterested so often in the game. and when they do something well, I tend to think, can't somebody do better? Okay. Anyway, digression aside.
Digression. All right. Well, Mejia's got 32, and then Peña and Nakamura each have 31, and that should be fun to watch until the last pitch. Yeah. Yeah. Now, batting-wise, two guys are actually pretty much tied at the top. My man, Yoshio Itoi of the Oryx Buffaloes, and Nakuten's Ginji Akaminai are both hitting .322. I think one has, if they did all the math out to the last place, one is higher than the other, but they're pretty much in a virtual tie, which is really exciting. I think Itoi is, and I'm looking at the numbers here, .321.88. And
wow.
Yeah, and Akaminai is at .321.83. So if you do the math out the five places, so
where's Uchikawa in that mix? Because I noticed
Uchikawa's at .317. Yeah, he's got an outside chance, and you know he's such a good hitter, he can have a three or four hit game, you know, in the blink of an eye.
Well, his problem is he has to remember how to run the bases.
Well, yesterday, you're talking about yesterday.
It wasn't all his fault. It was just a weird thing.
It was his fault, but then again, it wasn't. He figured with two outs, the runner in front of him was just going to try to score. And there was no way with the outfield playing in that he had a chance to get to home base on a single to left field. And he hit the brakes, and Uchikawa was just... He was just figuring, hey, you know, I don't have to look.
Second base now.
I don't have to look.
I better get back. Oh, I can't. Okay, I'm out. Oh, end of that story. So the Hawks had a chance to win the game against the Lions, and that didn't help.
No.
It wasn't gonna win it. It's not like he cost them the winning run, but.
Right, it was tied, and they didn't get the go-ahead run across. And I blame him for not looking, because I think he kind of had his head down, and he was making some assumptions.
Yes, he does that.
But then again, you figure with two outs, a guy's going to go. So I think you just have to, you know, you've got to pick up the third base coach, and he's got to be helping. And it was one of those things.
He's in the batting race. We'll move on.
All right. And then Sho Nakata is leading with RBIs, and I think he has his chance to get his first RBI title, and I think he's got a good chance to get to 100. And that's, you know, I always rip on the guy, and I'm not the only one. There were some former Fighters players who kept shaking their heads saying, why are we trying to build around this guy? You know, he's the Yuki Saito of the offense.
Yeah, he's in some way, he's reminiscent of Kazuhiro Kiyohara. He's a guy who just sometimes seems disinterested in the game.
Well, I don't know about disinterest. I just think he realizes he's not that good. The only reason he's got all these RBIs is because he's hitting with the, you know, the table setters have done a good job of setting the table, and he's just sat down to eat. You know, he hasn't really done anything in helping in the preparation or anything. He's just in the best spot, in the cleanup spot, and there's a lot of guys on base, and he's driving some in with some, I mean, he's not hitting great, but.
I think, perhaps Michael Westbay collects the at-bat, data, you know, how many runners are on base in each at bat, that he could look and see how many guys he had in scoring position, how many runners he had on base in front of him. You know, if what you're saying holds true, then it might be that he just has an unusual number of guys you know, ready to score.
Right. I think so.
Well, I had a couple of others.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I guess two. One is the walks. And mm-hmm. Andrew Jones has 106, which puts him ahead of his number from last year by one. And he's in a position where he could set a Pacific League record.
Mm. What's the record?
113.
Okay.
Set by Atsushi Kataoka with the Nippon Ham Fighters in 1998.
Sounds like a good trivia question.
Okay. And a stolen base.
We'll ask that one next week. See how many people remember.
See if John remembers. Okay. You remember. I wouldn't try to throw that one past you. Because unless I forgot that I asked it already, which is more my style.
Okay.
Okay, the stolen base is Haruki Nishikawa of the Fighters, has 38.
Yeah, a guy you like, I know.
Yeah, especially now they've banished him from second base. I like him a lot more. And Yuki Inagita of the Hawks has 30 runs scored. Inagita is probably going to lead the league. Right now he has 86.
Yeah. Going to be an interesting MVP vote, I'll tell you that for sure.
Now, okay. What do you got on the pitchers?
On the pitching side, as we talked about in the trivia, Chihiro Kaneko of Oryx, who's been nothing but steady in his career since 2006. I think you'd agree with that, except for the 1 year he was injured. He's now in position for a Triple Crown victory. He's got 14 wins. He leads in ERA with a 1.99 ERA, right. And he's got 190 strikeouts. So there's really not much more to talk about in the Pacific League than him. And of course, he had a really good season last year. It was just eclipsed by Masahiro Tanaka in the record-setting season that he had.
Right. Yeah, he had a Darvish year.
Yeah, but
he had a Darvish year, like the year that Iwakuma finished last but won the MVP.
Right.
He had one of those years because he was the only one who cleared all the Sawamura hurdles. You know, they have these old guys sit down every year and talk about the old days and how the pitchers today aren't any good. And they got these benchmarks, you know, mm-hmm. got a clear six benchmarks.
Yeah.
And in the year Iwakuma didn't even clear all the benchmarks, but Iwakuma didn't clear them all, but his season had some things that were off that table that were so good. Like he allowed three home runs in 220 innings and things like that just drove these guys nuts.
Right.
And so the same thing happened last year with Kaneko. He was the only one who cleared all the benchmarks, but Tanaka, they gave it to the, you know, the guy who won 24 games.
Right. Yeah. Well, I suppose all those guys were trying to pull their last strands of hair out, trying to figure out stuff.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, anything, a couple of, points. In addition to Kaneko, the real interesting one happened the other day, which was on Friday when Rakuten, things were going on up there in Sendai this week.
Mm.
And Takahiro Norimoto, who was their Rookie of the Year in 2013 and the number two punch behind Masahiro Tanaka last year,
yep,
threw his seventh shutout on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is both the most in both leagues, but it's also the most in Japan since 1989.
Wow.
And the most in the PL since, and this is the shock because the PL now, the Pacific League now is not like the Pacific League it used to be.
Right.
It used to be lots of small parks using juiced baseballs.
Mm-hmm.
And so not surprisingly that it was 36 years since somebody had seven shutouts in a Pacific League season.
Wow.
Since Hall of Famer Keishi Suzuki did it in 1978.
Good grief. Wow. Yeah, it's quite a mark, but Norimoto has had an up-and-down season.
Yes, he has.
And
but we're talking about leaders. We're not talking about who's better.
Yeah, but still, with the ups and downs and being banished to the bullpen at one point in the season, he still is the innings leader in the Pacific League. So, I mean, when you look at the full body of work, I think after the season, we're going to say he's probably worthy of getting an award, perhaps. But unfortunately, his ERA is not good enough, and he's, you know, obviously with the team not winning a lot of games, he's not going to have enough wins. But he's had a really decent season, and he's had these
big quality games. He hasn't had the greatest season, but he's had these large number of quality games. I mean, I don't run game scores, with these that we could, you know, look at, you know, how valuable each or how impressive each individual start is. But he has, in Japan, we have a stat called Mushikyu, which means no walks or hit batsmen.
Right.
Complete game. And he has 5 this year, which are the most since 2001 in Japan. So it's really a weird season.
It's bizarre.
It's been very rocked him this year.
All right, flip over to the Central League now, and Brad Eldred looks like he's going to win the home run title.
He got another one.
A great first half.
Yeah, he got his first home run in a month and a half the other day.
Yeah, I think it was on Friday, and he hadn't hit a home run since July 26th, so he cracked one on Friday, and that gave him 34. And now I heard that Coco Ballantyne was going to be shut down at some point soon here in the season because he's got a bad Achilles. Yeah.
Well, I think he's going to be shut down after having to run from first to third. He had to sprint from first to third yesterday in a weird play at Tokyo Dome. Yeah. So he looked like he was ready to, can you take me off the field now?
Right, yeah. And he hasn't hit a home run in a while either. Now he's at 31. So I'm just assuming that Eldred is at some point they're going to shut Ballantyne down, and he's probably, you know, once they finish up their games in Tokyo, I think Ballantyne, this is what I heard from the announcers, but who knows? Okay. But anyway, so I'm assuming that Eldred's going to get the home run title and break Coco Ballantyne's streak there. But we've seen some really steady play from Mauro Gomez of the Hanshin Tigers, and I think he's going to get some MVP consideration. He's got the RBI lead.
Yeah, he's probably, he or Eldred will win. You know, if Eldred comes back, he has a chance, but basically it's Gomez's race to win.
Right. And then Hanshin's Matt Merton looks like he's going to outlast. It looks like, but we don't know. I mean, it's still kind of tight. Yosuke Kikuchi, well, kind of tight. Matt Merton's hitting 341. Kikuchi's at 323. So Matt's going to have to fall back to him, and Kikuchi's going to get hot. But
Another one that's kind of interesting is the run scored. Because I'm not a Triple Crown guy, so I got to go to the ones I like more.
You gotta go off the grid to find your stuff, right?
Yeah, I go to the actual productive stuff.
Okay.
And Tetsuto Yamada has got 99, which is not a surprise when you've got an on-base percentage like 400 and you're batting in the top of the Swallows lineup, that you're going to score a lot of runs. And,
right, as long as you get on, yeah.
Yoshihiro Maru's in a similar situation. He's got 95. Mm-hmm. And the other, I guess the surprise there is that he's got 89 walks. You know, this is a guy who didn't used to walk a lot, but I mean, he was a fair to middling guy.
But I think in the last 2 years, he's figured a lot of stuff out, and he's become a really good hitter.
It's probably the last big adjustment for him. And the stolen bases is interesting because I didn't see this one coming at all.
There's
Takayuki Kajitani with 38.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. And it's still, I looked up and he had, you know, 30 stolen bases. I'm like, wait a second, you're not the stolen base guy. What are you doing up here?
He's an extreme athlete. He's one of these guys that's like, he's really a problem because he's going to make all these scouts think that any athlete can play baseball.
Right.
You know, because he's this guy who could do basically everything last year. He hadn't hit for much power, and suddenly he started hitting all these home runs last year. And then he hadn't stolen many bases. All of a sudden he's stealing bases. You know, and he was a shortstop, and they said go to right field. And he went like, just point me in the right direction. And he's out there.
Where's that again? Okay job.
So he's going to make all these guys just start looking for the best outfield, and, you know, we're going to – Japanese baseball is going to start filling up with guys like Mike Davis, you know, who can run and, you know, who are tremendous athletes.
And play all over the place.
Yeah, play baseball.
Yeah. I like what he's done, but I want to go back to Tetsuto Yamada of the Swallows, because he was trying to be the first right-handed Japanese hitter to reach 200 hits in a season. And at 175 with just, a few games left? Not a few,
yeah,
but
12 games left.
Yeah, not that many games left. I don't think he's going to get there. But the thing about him is we were talking all season because I was calling him a hit machine and all this other stuff. And he was, for a long time, he was the hits leader, and he still is. But guys have snuck up on him.
Well, the thing is he's leading in total bases, which is kind of weird for, you know, the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, but he hits for so much power. I mean, I think among Japanese players, I think he's the home run leader in the Central League. Am I correct?
Well, he's got 24. He's third in the home run race, and he leads the league by a good margin in doubles.
Yeah, among Japanese hitters, he's the top home run hitter.
Right.
Yeah.
He's 9. He's 10 behind Eldred now. But like I said, he's also leading in doubles. So he's leading. He could 24 home runs will get you a home run title not very often actually.
Yeah.
If you go back to Ichiro and Kokubo in those days, but 24 home runs is pretty sizable. And we don't, how many second basemen hit 24 home runs in Japan who aren't foreign.
Right.
That doesn't happen. So yes. Interesting.
Yeah. He's really, I mean, I went out to the park and I look at this little guy and you see what he does.
He's a little thin guy, but he's got great bat speed, and he's making good contact.
Yeah, he's not just thin. He's small. I mean, he's miniature. I mean, this is not, the same can be said for Yohei Oshima. And he's only two hits now behind Yamada for the hits lead at 173. And right behind those two is Kikuchi of the Carp. So this is going to be a fun race, I think, down the stretch to watch and see who ends up with the most hits, because we talked so much and it looked like Yamada was going to run away with this thing, and he hasn't. So
he's kind of crawling away with it now. Yeah. And now, as I mentioned Friday, there were some things going on in Sendai this week, and the biggest was that Senichi Hoshino stepped down as a manager, which is the second time he's done this during a season, or at least said he was going to step down during the season.
Right, and he's going to obviously step down at the end of the season, but he made the announcement during the season.
Right, which is what you want to do because you want to let the team know. I mean, it doesn't have to be public, but he's a bit of a drama queen, and you got to have that, and he's got to make the tearful thing. He likes his ceremony and stuff a little bit too much. He's got a little of the hot dog in him, so he's got to announce it. And he can't just walk away quietly and said, no, we decided to do this during the season, but we didn't want to tell anybody about it.
Really? I didn't get that impression of him, and I didn't really see the tears, but I think this was Thursday that he made this announcement, and I thought it was foreseeable and predictable, and you recall last year he finally got a Japan Series title in his fourth try, and I wrote a blog post this past week saying, hey, look, it was a symbiotic relationship with Rakuten, because I think they needed him, and he needed that team, and for them to come out and have a poor start, and then for him to fall ill and have to spend time away from the team, and then he's back. But I didn't think, I just assumed with this condition, this ossified yellow ligaments condition that he has, that he wasn't going to be around next year. So I don't know. I think the tears were mostly about the fact that he's got to walk away because he's ill, because he's a hyper-competitive guy. You remember.
True.
We've talked about the fact that you can still find
him. I'm not questioning the bit about walking away. I'm just questioning why make a big deal about it. This is something that doesn't have to be, you could announce it. You could make the decision, and everybody, the team could know about it, and people could say, "Well, he's going to leave." But they could. You don't need the big ceremony.
Really? I mean, they're coming off a Japan Series title. His team's in last place.
Yeah. No. I mean, announce it. I mean, make the decision, and the team moves forward, and the players know, and this is going to be at some point. It's not important that the players know or don't know, to be honest. But I'm saying that's one way of doing it, but there was no way Hoshino was going to do that.
I mean, it's not like he's Norio Tanabe of the Seibu Lions, and nobody's really going to care if he has a press conference that much anyway. He's Hoshino.
True.
He's Senichi Hoshino. I mean, this is not just some chump.
Yeah, well, and also
he can't just slide away in the background and disappear.
The team's probably going to try to sell it.
Yeah.
Come see Hoshino while he's still walking.
Oh, no.
I
thought the saber was put away. It comes out again.
It's all about...
Hi-ya!
No, I just... It's a distraction.
From what? They're not doing anything. What can they be distracted from? Oh, we're losing. We're in last place. And you remember that line from Slapshot, the movie, right? We're losing! I mean... There's nothing going on out there. What's the distraction?
Well, it has nothing to do with baseball, is what I'm saying.
Well, he's obviously he helped deliver that championship with the Eagles. He's not just gonna.
See, what we're
away.
Saying here is Derek Jeter syndrome.
Oh no, it's not that dramatic.
Well, that's, I mean, it is. It's like, yeah. let's have a ceremony. You know, and I understand. And I like Kisenchan. He's one of my favorites. I mean, I get along really well with him, but I think it is the Derek Jeter thing that's got me kind of fed up. Well, let's, regurgitate the thanks and, the ceremony, and let's say what a great guy he was. And it's like, it's so weird.
I don't know. It is weird.
He deserves it because that's a long story. I'm not going to get into it.
Right.
But the point being that there's this perception that all the teams have to bend over backwards now to give ceremonies to Derek Jeter. And
I'm not talking about Jeter deserving it.
With Hoshino, yeah. I understand it, and I also understand this is really common. This is not like some crazy unusual thing like the Jeter thing is in America. This is something that it's typical in Japan for teams to make a big deal about people leaving. You know, Inaba's game is sold, retirement game is sold out, and this is normal in Japan. But I want to, I'm sort of asking the question, should we be making a big deal about it? I don't really have a strong opinion one way or another. I mean, this isn't the norm here, but I'm saying, do we have to make a big deal about it? Could it have been done? My question is, could it have been done another way? Could he have just sort of made the announcement, told everybody in the team's looking for a new manager, blah, 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 instead of making it public?
I just, anytime that a manager is going to leave, I think it is a public thing, especially a guy who's coming off of Japan. If they hadn't won anything and he had not helped, and I'm not saying he developed Malkun into the pitcher that he was, but he certainly gave,
no.
I mean, because of his competitive spirit, I think that rubbed off on Malkun a little bit.
Okay.
And I think it is
a public thing. I mean, it's a public decision. I'm asking.
Yeah. He's in the public eye right now. He's got this illness. He's coming off the Japan Series victory. Their team is going to go from first to worst, probably. I mean, yeah, he can't just slink away in the background and say nothing to see here. He's got to go. I don't think they made a big deal about it, but I want to move on.
But he did.
Well,
and
all right.
Yeah, let's make this public. I'm announcing, it's like, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm just questioning, could it have been done? I'm not saying could it have been done better, which it was done the way it's done in Japan, which is let's make an announcement. Let's have a press conference.
Okay.
Uncle holding the press conference at 5 o'clock before a 6 PM start isn't going to allow for many questions.
Right.
So, anyway, so that happened. And speaking of Hoshino leaving, the Eagles now are having their best run of the season. Here's the thing. They have – I didn't count yesterday, but they're 6.5 games out of the last playoff spot.
Yeah, well –
And there's 14 games left to play.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
They are – well, don't say that ain't going to happen. Because, we've seen I'm not going to say they're as good right now as the 2010 Marines, but they are at this point, they have, I think, for the last week and a half been playing as well as they should. What I've noticed about the Eagles, and I mentioned before, is that what I saw them missing was not Masahiro Tanaka, but what I saw them missing is consistently good at bats up and down the lineup.
Okay.
And what I've seen the last 2 weeks is consistently good at bats up and down the lineup. And I think I'm pulling for them to come back and win the last playoff spot.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him, and I can tell you this: he looks like a leader of state. He's aged really poorly in the past 4 years compared to the way he looked. Because they showed him when he took over the team, I think it was 4 years ago, or the press conference was about three and a half years ago, and he looked vibrant and full of life, and he just looks like he's not healthy right now. And part of that was the aging process that he went through that first year with the team, when he was punching the bench when they would make mistakes or give up leads and lose games, and stopped doing that
and
stuff.
That was a hard season. That was 2011.
Yeah, that was tough for him. But
that was 2011, and it was also, you know, that whole subtext of the earthquake and the tsunami, and the season started late, and the team played really. They felt they were really pressurized to do well for Sendai, and they did lousy.
Yeah, they were bad.
And he looked horrible. And I'll tell you the interest, because you mentioned his health, and when we were talking. At some point, I'm going to say it was last year, I don't remember. I asked him, tell me about your health, or maybe it was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your health when you left. He left Hanshin for his health.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had collapsed one day at a hotel. He was coming up the stairs and getting off the elevator, and he collapsed, and he fainted when he was with the Tigers during the season, and he couldn't manage a game. And so as soon as the Japan series was over, now this is the thing, as soon as the Japan series is over, then you announce, or I guess that the season is over, you announce, I'm going to quit. And then you play the Japan series out and you finish up. That's fine. But, that's different. But then he told me what happened was he went and he had a battery of test runs, and the doctors told him like 2 weeks after he announced he was going to quit. And then they played the Japan series. The doctor said, oh, no, this was just a kind of a random thing that happened. It was just stress building up, and it was a couple of health issues that sort of coincided. No, you would be fine to go. And he said, why didn't you tell me this before I said I was going to quit?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because he never would have quit.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to move along here. But, I'm looking forward to them having a good finish. Maybe they can make the playoffs. Probably.
Yeah, that's a good story. So I'm going for that. I like them with good stories.
All right. Let's quickly touch on the CL standings and the PL standings. It looks like that the Giants are going to win this thing. No surprise there. Mm-hmm. I think the race for second place is hopefully one that goes down to the last pitch. Hiroshima and Hanshin are duking it out, and it should be fun to see. I was talking to somebody at the ballpark yesterday when I went out. And I said, hey, look, the games in the Pacific League probably don't mean that much. I mean, the SoftBank Hawks are in front. Looks like they're going to wrap it up when they're playing poorly here in September. But anyway, I think they're 3-7 in September at the moment right now. But, but it looks like we all figure they're going to win, and they look good for that. But the Giants are wrapping that up. But the second place and third place, teams in the Central League, you know, you got these three games in the Central League, and two of them, sometimes three of them, depending on what the schedule looks like, they are really impact. And I remember 2 days in a row, a team won, and then the next night it lost, and it went from fourth to fifth. And I think when the Bay Stars won a game the other day, they went up into fourth place, and then they lost and they went back to fifth place. It was really weird. It's really fun to watch and see how all that plays out.
Yeah, the fourth and fifth spots are really tight in the Central League, and the fourth, fifth, and sixth spots are really tight in the Central League. They're really close, and the teams are all jumping around. They're all within. I mean, digress. I mean, the Pacific League, the last three teams are separated by two winning percentage points.
Yeah.
It's like 4-4-4, 4-4-3, and 4-4-2.
Yep, really close stuff. So interesting.
So the Central League, basically yesterday the Swallows were eliminated from the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants clinched a postseason berth finally.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Pacific League, the Fighters were eliminated from pennant contention.
Okay.
They've still got an easy run into the playoffs, but they can no longer win the league.
Right. Interesting. So yeah, those races to see where the places are going to end up are going to be fun to watch down the stretch. Now, one thing, another note, Masahiro Tanaka is going to be pitching for the Yankees tomorrow. And
yeah.
I'm assuming you're going to be doing that
watching
game.
Watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 a.m.
Yeah. It's a middle of the night game. So, and I wrote a blog post about it, during the week. I'm like, what's the purpose? Is this really wise? You know, I heard one explanation that they want to see if he can actually pitch in a game, and if he's going to have a tear is it going to be a full tear, or that partial tear is going to reappear and they're just going to go ahead and have the surgery or not. And at first I wrote the blog post. I was basically furious that he was going out to the mound, and I've heard all these explanations, and I heard on ESPN one of their sports doctors or sports medicine experts came on and explained stuff. And you know, they always talk about we're doing this for precautionary measures and precautionary reasons, but throwing to see if somebody can actually throw, and if they, you know, if they don't compete in a game situation, they don't know, and blah blah blah. It just doesn't seem right to me, so I'm kind of against this thing. And I think they gave him the platelet rich injection, plasma. Yeah, and they wanted to see if it would heal. And I think rest did heal it if it was just that minimum. You said 10% on the tear. I just see the pushy pinstripers trying to get some because they're not eliminated.
That's just John being a guy who hates the Yankees.
Really? I mean, because if they were eliminated from the playoffs, I guess it would really be ridiculous. But the fact that they have a small percentage that they're not mathematically eliminated, that they're trying to show that
this is such a small percentage that basically this is a kind of a let's see where we are for next year thing.
All right. Well, I'm kind of.
I don't think so. I don't get that at all. See, I've been watching this basically since day one, and this was part of the program to see. And basically, I think what happens is if you get the PRP, your arm needs to respond. Your elbow needs to respond. If you get that therapy, you can't. It's not, for example, if he's not ready to pitch by the end of September. Basically, they're telling me if he's not ready to pitch by the end of September, he won't be ready to pitch next year because it's a bigger problem.
Well, then he needs to have the surgery, right? So, I mean, but couldn't they figure that out?
Yes, but
couldn't they figure that out in the sim games? Yeah, I mean,
he is ready to pitch, and so right now it's probably more a matter of rust than elbow. Now, does that mean his elbow is 100%? And that the answer is nobody knows that. Nobody.
Yeah.
His elbow probably wasn't 100% before he tore it.
Yeah.
And his elbow probably wasn't 100%, probably had these micro fractures, you know, micro tears in there, you know, when he was pitching in Japan.
Yeah.
And right now he's coming off a stretch which he's probably has the longest stretch since he went from being a catcher to a pitcher where he hasn't thrown off a mound or thrown competitively or thrown in practice. And he went through 20 some days where he didn't throw at all.
Well, I'm not going to stay up and watch the game, but I'm going to tape it and I'm going to watch it, so I'll have some comments, maybe another blog post afterwards, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so basically it's going to be, if it doesn't go well, it's going to be, he'll get Tommy John surgery probably in the next few weeks.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, from Michael in Yokohama, a question for Jim, namely, if the summer months see a rise in home runs, does September usually see a rise in strikeouts? And if so, why?
The answer is no.
No what?
No, September does not see a rise in strikeouts. He's correct. The summer months, June, July, and August are the best 3 months, not necessarily in that order, but August is the big month for home runs. From 2006 to 2013.
Mm-hmm.
The percentages are above average. The other months, they're below average. Strikeouts, the only month that's above average, like 12% above average, is August. And do I know why? I have no idea. I really would. I wish I knew.
Yeah, I
wish I knew. Are guys taking big swings? Are guys taking bad swings? It almost goes against. It's counterintuitive that August would be the big strikeout month, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And the other months are all below average, so that's weird.
Yeah.
And April isn't more than April is more than June, and May is more than. Or November or October is more than May, and it's strange. It's all over the place.
Mm. Okay. All right. We appreciate the questions. We have another question that we'll get to next week that was on the Facebook page, so we'll do that. If anybody else wants to send us a question, do so by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com, or like Anthony, we'll get to you next week, buddy. Like Anthony did, leave us a note on the Facebook page, and we will talk to you next week. And we'll see how these races are, or not the races, but the, actually the second place battle in the Central League. And I think the battle to stay out of last place, I'm sorry, to stay out of fifth place in the Central League is also going to be an interesting battle. So we'll see how those play out. Should be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.